Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1651, air date February 6th, 2026.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Iyaduray. We'll start. As you can see, this is our Truth from Health town hall. Today's talk is Truth from Health, Your North Star. We have a number of people in our town hall today. We have various leaders throughout the world who help lead our town hall. We've done introductions, and then we play our Shatter the Swarm video, different videos. All of you are invited to come to our open house that takes place at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. every day. And around 9 p.m. on Thursdays, I come in and try to focus a talk on relevant events and then intersect it with our movement, inspiring you hopefully to join this movement for your own sake, not for us, but for yourself. So today's talk is really reflecting on a lot of the noise. And by the way, anything the swarm or the government does is very deliberate. It's very planned. Don't think anything they do is in a chaotic manner. So there was a document dump of about 3 million documents. A lot of it's actually been out there. And there's 3 million more which are being held back. And the 3 million that were dumped, most of it is highly, highly redacted. Redacted means a lot of black lines. You don't can actually find people's names. But nonetheless, I think it's a good opportunity to step back as we do in everything we do, and we look at it from a systems perspective and what's the real issue here. So first of all, let's not get lost in the hype that there's only one Epstein. There's a lot of Epsteins. Number two, there's a ton of human trafficking and child trafficking going on right now. And none of that has stopped. Okay. Number three, Epstein's disclosure does not mean that somehow all this is going to go away. The reality is Epstein disclosing, or the swarm deciding to disclose Epstein, is actually a form of learned helplessness. And I did a little video tweet on this earlier this week. You see, learned helplessness is a technique that is used by the CIA, Mossad, MI6, the intelligence agencies, to expose people to horror, horrible things that the government does to people. And thinking that by exposing things, the goal is by exposing things, the average person thinks, oh my God, wow, this is great. We're getting all this news. But the end result is people are left with learned helplessness because, and there's a lot of work done on this psychologically. The more you expose stuff to, the more you expose people to horrible events, horrible news, people ultimately say, wow, the world really sucks. And look at all this horrible shit. I guess I can't do anything about it. Right. And that is the goal. And if you go look at one of the videos I did, I explained what is learned helplessness, the research that was done by CIA-funded psychologists in the United States to create learned helplessness. They did tests with dogs, actually with rats, dogs, and then humans. And you can create learned helplessness among humans by showing them enough horrible things and doing horrible things to them, and then showing them that they can't do anything to get out of that. Okay? So exposing stuff alone is not enough. You have to actually give a way for people to take action, to build a movement, or take action in your own personal lives to overcome that. Otherwise, the exposition of things merely becomes a way to demoralize you. Does this make sense? So all these people, social media people who get promoted, by the way, Tucker Carlson, AKA Tucker Carlson, who made $25 million a year at Fox News, suddenly decides now he's going to expose stuff. He denounced 9/11 conspiracy theorists at the time when it took place and now starts talking about it 30 years later. You see, he's a fucker. So I call him Fucker Carlson because he came from a CIA family and he knows the power of exposing shit to demoralize people. So a lot of people on the internet who get promoted, and they're all monetized and promoted, they never offer a solution. Imagine going to someone who's a doctor or dentist. I see Edward Zach is here, a great dentist down in Connecticut. And Edward, imagine if Edward just told you all sorts of shit was wrong in your mouth and just said, okay, I got to go back to work, but never gave you a solution. And he kept doing that over and over and over again. That's what these guys do. They tell you how bad things are or how screwed up things are, but they never, ever give you a solution by design. Okay, so that's the fourth point with Epstein. The dumping of his documents was very deliberately done. And if and they left out, I mean, it's pretty bad stuff, you know, torturing this, that, and people are retweeting it, tweeting it, you know, doing videos on this stuff. Where does that get you? Gets you nowhere. By itself alone, unless you offer people a way out, okay? A path out. Now, what's interesting for me, and I was sharing this with Andrew, and that's why I decided to do this talk, is some of those people in the Epstein files, whatever reason, my life's journey brought me close to them. And however, and I want to share this with you, I think these people were a little bit dismayed by the fact that I could be compromised, but they all became compromised. So let's talk about that. You see, the swarm, is like the Death Star. Truth, Freedom, Health is a North Star. The swarm is a Death Star, meaning that if you see anyone out there, and this is 99.9999%, who has big fame, a lot of money, celebrity status, gets big book deals, is at a major university, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is compromised. 99.999%. You follow what I'm saying? There's no fucking way you become an institute professor at MIT, or you become a best-selling New York Times author, or you get to move in those circles without being compromised. And if they see a rising star coming up who has done it on their own, guess what they try to do? They are friendly, they try to bring you into their circles, and they try to compromise you. Or if they realize that you cannot be compromised, either they get rid of you, or in the modern world, they make you invisible. Okay? So I'll give you two it's interesting. Chomsky was trending 2 days ago. If you don't know who Noam Chomsky is, you can look him up. Noam Chomsky is a professor at MIT. He's known as the world's leading linguist. He is apparently cited academically more than Jesus Christ, next to Jesus Christ. And he was positioned in the world, the aura of the academic, was the anti-establishment academic, right? So he built that fame around that anti-establishment academic. And there are only four institute professors at MIT. See, in academia, there are various levels of professors, right? You come in as a PhD student, postdoc, then you can be, I think, an associate professor, assistant professor, full professor, endowed professor, and an MIT institute professor. I think at that time, there were only four of them. So I came bottoms up, meaning when I was on campus, I started building a bottoms up movement, no support from anyone, and we became pretty powerful. I was literally ushered over to Chomsky, you see, to become his protege. The net of it was, and because I'd studied politics, this was 18, 19 years old, almost, Jesus, 42 years ago, I realized that Chomsky had written all these books, seemingly anti-establishment, but at the end of the day, he was demoralizing people from building a movement. Okay? Again, exposing a lot of shit. People say, oh my God, did you read Noam? Noam, Noam, Noam was like, Noam. You know, like if you knew Noam, you must be somebody. But the reality was, we would run demonstrations on campus and he would show up and he would talk like nonsense, like trying to demoralize people. Or he'd give a 3-hour talk on exposing some horrible thing the government did. And everyone invariably left those events. People wanted to be activists, completely fucked up mentally. Okay. So, you know, I kept in touch with him over the years. He had, again, these people had a lot of respect for me because they couldn't figure me out. Like, what the fuck? This guy's known on campus. He's doing this and that. So they had to be associated with me for their own credibility. And the turning point for me came many years later, almost what, 30 years later, when the email controversy took place, quote unquote, fabricated controversy. And I clearly invented email. All the facts are there. And I was being trashed all over the media, and you can look at it. And I was in Noam's office. I just come back from India. And I said, Noam, here are the facts. Say something. I put him to the challenge because he was known as a guy who always tells the truth. And so Noam, in order to keep his credibility, had to tell the truth. He went, he did, you can find, he did a major release saying it's obvious Shivaya Dre invented email. It's black and white. Well, a few days after that, I think it was like midnight, he called me up at home. This is the great Noam Chomsky, who wrote Manufacturing Consent. And he's like, Shiva, I'm being attacked by MIT saying, why did I do that release? I'm like, my home institution is attacking me. My home institution. And I know I've spoken about this before, but it's good to repeat this. And I'm like, no, what do you mean your home institution? When did MIT become your home fucking institution? You know? But he was scared shitless. Why? Because of his prestige that he had gotten over the years through ultimately compromising. Now, he was in communication with Jeffrey Epstein, if you saw. The emails came out. Also, I mean, he had a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. And I remember being in 2011 or 12 in Noam's office. His wife had just passed away. And I didn't know him on a very deeply personal level, but he started sobbing in front of me, crying. Very deeply, deeply upset that his wife had passed away of cancer. And I was very moved by it. He'd never spoken like this to me. But then a year later, he marries this woman, Valeria from Brazil, who too was very, very chummy, chummy with Epstein. 30 years younger than him, and that's his business. But you have to wonder, did Epstein introduce her? I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he did. Okay. My point is that it's obvious that Chomsky paid the devil to get his position ultimately. And they couldn't figure me fucking out because I wouldn't do that. I used to communicate with him eventually during COVID. He came out pro-vaccine, big time. And he and I stopped communicating. Typically, if I sent him an email within minutes, I'd get an email response back. So I give you that example. This guy was connected to the Swarm Network. By the way, Epstein was a gateway, and there's many Epsteins, as a way to keep these people who want fame and fortune in check. He compromised them. Does this make sense? So he was their gateway. Okay. And again, you can look up Noam Chomsky. Okay. Not a pretty heavy hitter. Okay. So his aura, he had built his fame and fortune around the anti-establishment academic. He owned that brand, but he paid a price for that, okay? Compromised. He ultimately didn't have principles because when MIT attacked him for telling the truth, he's freaking out. That's not a person with principles. Follow what I'm saying? He's a tenured professor. He doesn't have to worry about losing his job. What he has to worry about is losing his club, you see, his access to that club. Give you another example, another guy called Deepak Chopra. Ever heard of him? Again, his brand is a new age guy, right? The new age guru. He's got the Indian accent, talks like this, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, if you saw the email that came out, he said, and he's, you know, everyone thinks he's a spiritualist, believes in God. Well, the email said, he's writing to Epstein, said, God is a construct. But cute girls are real. Okay? And some very interesting emails between him and Epstein. And he just had to put out a press release today saying, well, you know, I just knew the guy. All these guys are now regretting stuff. But again, in 2010, I had gotten a huge book deal for six figures with one of the leading book companies called HarperCollins to write, in fact, everything leading up to Systems Health. And gotten the book deal with a guy called Gideon Weil, who makes stars. And so the way you become a star, like a Deepak Chopra, is you write a major book with a major publisher, with a major agent. So I had the number one agent in the world at Trident Media with HarperCollins, a signed deal. And in the middle, and I was ushered to Deepak Chopra. Chopra was fascinated by me, invited me to speak. You know, he and I, he wanted me to bring Systems Health to the Chopra Center. So while that's going on, the email controversy again takes place. Okay. And I stand my ground. I fucking invented email. And my own publisher at HarperCollins is freaking out because of the negative shit I was dealing with fighting, that they had to drop my book deal. You see? Because they can't deal with fucking truth, because you're not in the club anymore. And they were dismayed, like, why the fuck would this guy drop writing his book to go fight over here? You see? I went and wrote another book over here. But, and when I ran for office in 2017, hitting Elizabeth Warren, Deepak Chopra and I lost all contact. But up until then, you can find videos of him, you know, saying how great I am, a genius, the inventor of email, all this. So again, they wanted to have an affiliation with me, thinking I was like them and I would be compromised. You see? Again, these are not lightweights. These are, you know, I think Chopra had written 25 books on the New York Times bestseller, known all over the world. But again, an opportunity for me to compromise and join that club, and I fucking couldn't do it. But again, Deepak's in the Epstein's emails if you go through it. The MIT Media Lab, which I'm a graduate of, the director of that Media Lab, Joey Ito, was completely compromised by Epstein. And again, during the email controversy, I wrote to Joey and I said, Joey, you should have me come give a talk. Nothing back from him. So all of these fucking people, and it's funny, it was around the email controversy time that I experienced, because the email controversy was so big, because I'm pushing back against a swarm saying, no, I fucking invented email. These people knew the facts, but when push came to shove, they themselves are facing forces, you see? And they had to divest themselves from me because I was willing to be uncompromising. And you can go look at many, many examples like this. India, I go all the way to India, get recruited by the Prime Minister of India within the Delhi swarm. And I could have had pretty much anything I wanted, could have become the Science Minister of India, but again, could not compromise. So I give you these examples because the swarm is under the assumption that if you are growing your career, and then you want to break out into the big world of fame and fortune, you will become a pedophile. You will become compromised, whatever the fuck it is, okay? Because you so much want fame and fortune that you will compromise. And those people who do have no North Star, okay? For my, I think, birthday or Christmas, a bunch of the leaders and directors gave me the sculpture of a North Star. It's in the back. I'm sitting at a different area. So I really want to thank you all. But Truth Freedom Health is your North Star. If you're part of this movement, and the people in this movement are incredible people, and I was thinking, why? Because they actually have a sense of principles. They actually have fucking principles. And you're not a human being if you don't have fucking principles. These people are subhumans that I'm talking about. They so much want scraps of fame and fortune, they will fucking do anything. And they believe that people like me, who came bottoms up, who do accomplish, are like them. So it fucking fucks with their heads so badly. Why wouldn't he do that? Why does he want to keep fighting for the invention of email? He should just be quiet on that because he could get be famous over here, you see? And once you do that, you're fucked. So now if you look at with the Epstein stuff, these people are running around. Peter Attia, another quote unquote longevity doctor, he's in there, I think, a shitload of times talking about he's for longevity. Well, then he sends out a regret letter. So what's really fascinating about these scumbags is they work with the devil, make money and fame from the devil. And then when they're caught for being compromised, they'll write the most eloquent letters about regret and forgiveness. It's like those Christian evangelical preachers, right? Who gets caught banging everyone. Like Jimmy Swaggart, remember him? You can look him up. And he gives these, oh my God, Jesus help me, I'm so sorry, blah, blah. And then he goes fuck some more women, okay? So they really, really think the rest of us are stupid and that we too are compromised. What's powerful about the movement for truth, freedom, health, it's built on principles. Truth, freedom, health, transport, conversion, storage. We go down to systems principles. And the people who are attracted to our movement at a deep level, they're looking for a community where they can have hope that there are other people with principles. And that is freaking, you can't put a number on that. So to everyone listening to this, you know, we'll clip it and put it out there. The key message is, if you are truly looking to be a full human being, and you are truly looking to know that there are other human beings who will not be compromised, because the more of us there are, you get inspired, right? You say, wow, look at that, Nicholas. Look at that, Edward. Look at that, Barb. Oh, so I don't need to compromise. Because people always say, well, you always have to make compromises. Like, no, you don't. You don't fucking need to do that. You don't. So we set an example for people. Everyone in our movement sets an example. Everyone in our movement is not fucking getting paid. People are doing this. They're all working people. They have a very, very deep desire to create a better world. They have a deep sense of themselves. Their feet are on the ground and they want to figure shit out. And that's why they're here. I don't know of any other community like that. We're not tied to some religion. We're not tied to some race. We're not tied to some ethnicity. We're not tied to some color of skin. We're not tied to some sexuality, right? We're not tied to some Masonic rituals, right? We're just people who are very grounded, who work, and we want to figure this shit out. And we're uncompromising. And that is why we've been winning. We got on the ballot in 14 states, right? Seven of them denied us. In fact, we got on the ballot in more than that, 41 states, including write-in. We defied the rule which said that only a natural-born citizen could run for president. We won. That's a huge win that we did that. In the snow and cold, we got on many, many ballots. And we still kept fighting. That's a fucking win. It was our movement that exposed the fact that there's a backdoor portal to Twitter. By the way, Elon Musk has been shown to be a total fucking liar. He said, oh, I never had any contact with Epstein. I had no desire to be with him. Okay? There's an email where he's saying, "What? I want to go to your wildest party." Total fucking liar. He lied through his teeth when Clayton Morris asked him, and Dr. Shiva has discovered that there's a backdoor portal to Twitter. What do you know about that? Oh, let me get back to you. You never got back to Clayton. This guy's a fucking liar. And then today he says, you know, life doesn't mean anything. Money cannot buy you happiness. But then he demanded a $1 trillion bonus just a month ago from Tesla. Okay. So this guy's full of shit. And this is why, because we are strong on our principles, we don't compromise. This is why we are the most shadow banned fucking account on the internet, on social media. And you'll see everyone acknowledging that. Because they cannot give fame and fortune to us, me, because we're not willing to compromise. So guess what? We've taken our own brand. We've created our own brand. 1 billion people have seen our videos globally. And that's what fucks them up, that we did it on our terms. That's why Truth, Freedom, Health is a North Star. We stand independent of them. That's a North Star. We're not dependent on them. Every one of our solutions was not funded by the government. System Self is a phenomenal educational, health educational program where we were retraining people on how to deliver health. Clean Food Certified. No government involved. We are helping people define what is good, clean food. Cytosolv. Took us 15 years. No government funding. We're doing it on our own. So we actually have major fucking solutions that are not dependent on them. Every one of Elon Musk's quote unquote solutions is funded by the government, by the swarm, by the Defense Department. All of it. He's owned by them. We're not owned. And so everyone listening, all of you understand that no one fucking owns us. That's powerful. We're not owned to go on. All these guys are on social media. They're all none of our accounts are monetized. You know, some guy was saying, oh, Dr. Shiva, you should go on Substack. You could make $80,000 a year if you want. You know, we don't do that. We have our own data center. We run our own stuff. We're sustainable. So I just want to let everyone know that this is huge what we've created. It's massive. Nothing like our movement exists. We are the North Star. They're the Death Star. Epstein represents the Death Star. And there's many, many fucking Epsteins. So I want all of you guys to go educate people. You don't have to compromise. We've never compromised. Look at all the victories we have. And the fact that we exist provides people a tangible evidence that you can do something independent of them. You can grow it. You can have an organizational structure that doesn't have to, that's secular, that exists based on actual principles. And that the leadership of our organization, people who participate, people who contribute, are doing it for reasons that come from within them, not influenced by others. That's extraordinary. And I would say a movement like ours has never existed on this planet. Maybe some individuals got it, but not in the number of people that we've organized. I can't think of one movement in a very scientific way, teaching people principles, meeting regularly, having a leadership organizational structure. There's nothing like this that exists. Podcasters are not movements. They just talk shit. Then they go home and they party with the swarm. Joe Rogan is a fucking prick. Okay? He's not a movement. He never discusses anything relevant when the shit is hitting the fan. So we are the North Star. We really are. People can look to us and get inspired. And that's why it becomes penultimate on people to grow this movement. And in closing, I just want to say that our Senate campaign, it's our Senate campaign. Nicholas is running for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. Marianne is running for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. You know, Lynn is running, whether she's in England, for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. I just happen to be the symbol, the actual individual who's registered. I happen to be a good product, but I'm really a weapon for all of you. You see what I'm saying? You can weaponize me, but I'm not running for U.S. Senate. Everyone else is running. And that's why it's a very different attitude we're taking. Meaning, okay, Dr. Shiva's there. He's got a pretty good resume. He's shown he can fight, but I have to run for U.S. Senate, which means I have to go to my neighbors. I have to speak up. I have to articulate. I have to make phone calls because some idiot, was it a week ago, wrote on, because I was exposing this ICE nonsense that took place in Minneapolis. And he's saying, I can't believe you're attacking Donald Trump and ICE. you know, my family got you signatures to get on the ballot. We helped you. I said, wait a minute. I said, you didn't fucking help me. You're not helping me. You're helping yourself. Don't tell me you're helping me. You see, I'm not owned. if you're out there hitting the phones, you're not helping me. You're helping yourself. Okay. And collectively, when we help ourselves for the right principles, we all win. But their model is, you're helping me. You see what I'm saying? It's like, that's why they're all compromised, because it's an individual raising money for himself to get a position in government so then he can bring his friends in and give them jobs. It's a scam. They're not running on principles. And none of their people are also compromised. They're like beggars. Our movement does not want people begging. We want people raising their consciousness, recognizing I'm a human being. I see Dr. Shiva as a weapon on my behalf. His winning the Senate seat helps me, my family, and my community, right? That's why I'm doing this. You're not doing it for me. So that's the attitude that we want to share with people. That's a North Star attitude. That's a principled attitude. It's very, very different. So I want people to recognize what we have. The 60 of you who've come tonight, and I think there are more people in the morning, recognize that it becomes your duty now to bring people to these orientation, to engage people, to learn how to articulate. And we have many, many programs on how you can participate. Theory as well as practice. Theory, we have classes and courses and Q&A that go on all throughout the week. Probably every day there's something going on. There's a symposium in the health area. There's something on Clean Food Certified. There's Q&A, tutorials. There's nothing like this that exists out there. We're a university for raising consciousness. You know, in the real world, not some new age shit, okay? And then we provide people activities to do. You can make phone calls. You can hand out flyers. You can, we're training people. All of our leaders train people how to write social media, how to use modern AI tools. We're like a literacy school. In the old days, you have to teach people how to read and write. We're teaching people to use a lot of tools. And all of this is supported by working people. So, it's our duty to grow this movement and make this North Star very, very bright. And so it's really very cool to see how we're developing, what we've developed. We have an entire legal team now in this movement that does legal filings before I had to do it. We have an entire social media team. We have an entire video production team. We have people starting to learn how to do events. We have a systems health education. I mean, it's like a whole organization has come into being, all bottoms up. So our vision is being realized. And I urge everyone to get people off their ass to do something. Don't let them just theoretically ask you stupid questions all day. This is not a theoretical movement. This is a movement by doing you learn. But we are the North Star. There's no one else out there like us, and we will not be compromised, and no one needs to be compromised because we're here. So let's take some questions, and I'll hopefully try to answer them. Let's take like maybe five questions, whoever's facilitating this meeting.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva. Everyone, please put your question in the chat. Do not raise your hand. We will be only taking questions if they are sent in the chat. So message your question to any of the co-hosts or Dr. Shiva so we can answer that, please.
You probably know that the United States and Iran are having supposedly meetings on Friday. They were canceled yesterday and suddenly they were renewed. I think now the USS Abraham is there. I think the Nimitz may have left the It's dry dock. I think the George W. Bush is there or heading there. So if someone has any questions, you can read them out. Any questions?
I'm not seeing any right now. Just a reminder, please put your message in the chat. Do not raise your hand. Please put your message in the chat or your question in the chat, please.
We have one question. It says, are there a list of your policies, specifically your thoughts on the SAVE Act? Yeah, we're right up on, if you go to Shiva for Senate, all of our platform positions are up there. It's interesting that, you know, some of you know what the SAVE Act is. It's basically this act to where people have to show their voter eligibility, citizenship, in order to be able to vote. Makes sense, right? The more interesting thing is that, mind you, that with the events that are taking place with ICE and citizenship, or the pitting of immigrants against citizens. Let me just make this point. Even if you had the voter citizenship and all that, please be aware that elections are selections and that they manipulate the votes on the machine level. So as I've talked about this, there's multiple ways to manipulate an election. First, who gets visibility? Next, who gets on the debate stage? And next, how you actually can flip votes on the machines. The United States government and the CIA have been involved in more election fraud throughout the world than any other government on the planet, probably, but controlled by Israel. Okay? So I was one of the leaders, if not the first guy to really go into the depths of election integrity and expose a lot of this. When I met with Trump, who had raised $500,000 off my work, this is in 2022. And I said, look, this is what we need to do. He didn't want to spend one dime. So to the extent these guys talk about fixing elections, please take this, and you have to go read the act in detail, which I should go do. But none of it's really about solving a problem. It's about dividing us. I have a book that we just published online, I think should be up. It's called Deportation Theater, White on White Crime. Deportation Theater, White on White Crime. And let me just take a quick aside here to explain what the thesis of the book, which I've talked about in the last couple of videos, is that over the last 400 years, the white people in the United States have been the most manipulated people of any race, because they have a lot of power, and it's white on white crime. Of the total number of billionaires in the United States, there's 909 billionaires in the United States. 80% are white. The other 20% of other races. So it's multiracial, but predominantly white. The white swarm, as I call it, the billionaire white swarm, wants to make sure the working class whites and the poor whites are totally fucked. So they do this deportation theater. Out of the 14 million illegal immigrants in the United States, every year from Bush to Obama to Trump, only maximum 3.7% get deported. Maximum. Trump has deported 1-2%. Okay? So they do that just to make, it's really to fuck with the white Americans, to make them think they're fighting deportation, fighting illegal immigration. But meanwhile, the other 98% of illegal immigrants get to stay. Why? Because that same billionaire swarm needs exploited labor for the stock market, for their businesses to thrive. 50% of all the farms in California are done by illegal immigrants or unauthorized immigrants, undocumented. 30% of the construction in Texas and Florida, unauthorized immigrants, and pretty much, you know, 40% of the hospitality. Go to any hotel, who's doing all the cleaning in Florida, okay? If all the illegal immigrants were shipped out, what would happen? The United States economy would have a worse recession than the Great Recession of 2008. So the billionaire swarm needs cheap slave immigrant labor to thrive. In order to do that and appease, manipulate, brainwash, exploit white Americans, they do this stuff about strong on immigration. Obama did it in a certain way. Trump does it in another way. But they only deport at max. At the height of Obama's, I think, 2012, he was deporter in chief. Only 3.7% got deported. Okay? So it's a whole fucking scam. So getting to Tracy Peters' question. So when they talk about, oh, now we're going to do voter registration, they're not really interested in elections. It's just, again, to give this aura of citizens versus quote unquote illegal immigrants. And it may seem counterintuitive, but the reality is they want to make sure the white Americans are totally fucked. So they get to think these billionaire swarm is fighting for them, tough on immigration. Trump isn't. Neither is Obama, half white, by the way. And then they want to make sure the white working class feels better than the other immigrant working class. So they breed white supremacy. By the way, there's half a million posts, racist posts that are done every day with bots funded by this billionaire swarm through countries like Pakistan, Turkey, and via India. So they incite racism. And the entire goal here is to make sure that white people wages are suppressed. White wages have gone down from the median of, I think, 38K down to 20K. Okay? So the other interesting thing is the liberal left claims they care for the colored folks, the brown people, and upsets the white people. Then the right wing gets all the white people jacked up talking about white supremacy, right? The white replacement theory. So they have people screwed in both ways. And ultimately, white people in this country are totally, totally fucked. I will do this as a separate presentation, but since you brought this up, this is a presentation I put together that I want to share with you guys, even though this is not part of today's talk, but I'm a little bit, I believe this may be valuable to all of you. I talked about it, but I've organized it into a course module that I think, let me just walk you guys through it. Okay. So this is one of the most important systems issues we're going to be discussing. So the book is called Deportation Theater, White on White Crime, How the Billionaire Swarm Uses Immigration Theater to Divide Workers, Suppress Wages, and Build a Police State. Okay, this is a draft version of it. But, you know, I have a, this looks like a guy like Donald Trump, or it's a white billionaire manipulating a white guy. Okay, and if you look at the cover, it's got the swarm manipulating a white guy to tell all the immigrants to go home. White people are exploited big in the United States. It's very sad. And the big lie people have been told is that immigrants are stealing your jobs and lowering your wages. But the truth is white billionaires are the ones screwing white people over. And they're using immigration theater to hide it. 75% of American billionaires are white, and they point at immigrants while they pocket your money. Here's this very interesting data I was sharing with you. So you see this curve here? This is from 2000 to today. And you can see the maximum it ever hit under Obama was 3.7%. Okay? So for 30 years, Republicans and Democrats have deported only one, you know, about 3.7% of illegal immigrants per year. But why? Because billionaires need cheap immigrant labor to make billions. They just deport enough to make white people think they're tough on immigration. Okay? It's manipulating white people. And I want to keep hitting that point. Now, what's really interesting is the orange here represents actual return of people at the border. Okay? The red represents removals. So Obama, and they play this really weird shell game. So Obama changed returns to removals to look tough, right? So if you stop people at the border, he said, oh, I removed them. And then Trump used Title 42 to pump up his numbers. Both keep the same cheap labor flowing to billionaires, and both kept you angry at immigrants instead of the billionaire swarm. And the swarm, by and large, is white billionaires. Here's something that might surprise you, though, that the move this over. I'm sorry, the swarm is not just white billionaires. You know, the other 20% are people from white, Asian, Black, Latino, Jewish, and Muslim communities. But here's what matters. They want white people to hate immigrants and non-whites. But you know what? They're fucking all united. They all work together to keep us poor. They don't care about race when it comes to them to make money. Again, of those 902 billionaires, they're collectively worth 6.7 trillion. They're united against you. They don't want you. They don't want us, white, Asian, Black, united. You see, this is probably the most important slide. They're multiracial. They're united, but they want to keep us divided. Okay. And I wanted to make this point again. Where do these billionaires live? If you just looked at half of them, well, half of them live in California, Texas, and Florida. 199 in California. And if you had Texas and Florida, that comes up to another 200 billion, 200, right? So half of the billionaires live in Florida and Texas. Well, Texas and Florida is red, California is blue. And both use the exact same trick. And who actually does the work? Well, as I mentioned, 50% of all the farm workers in California are undocumented. Why aren't they deporting them all? Because the billionaires who run these farms need this undocumented labor. 40% in Texas construction rely on immigrant labor, and 65% is much higher than I told you in Miami hospitality rely on foreign workers, illegal immigrants. The scumbag Elon Musk, he tweets about illegal immigration destroying America. I talked about this last week, but you know, he uses undocumented workers because he saves 20% labor costs. The Uline company, you know, the Ulins family, they donated $100 million to anti-immigration politicians, yet they themselves, their entire business relies on undocumented workers. Then they preach to get white people really angry at all the brown people. They say, those people are stealing your money. What's fucking not true? Those illegal immigrants contribute $97 billion in taxes because they're subcontracted. So people like Musk and Bezos use these subcontracting companies. They actually hire them, so they take out their payroll tax, property tax, sales tax. That's all going right back into the government and these billionaires' coffers. So how do they keep the wage low? So billionaires keep illegal immigrants scared of deportation, and these scared workers will accept lower wages. Now, this drags down your wages, white person, because when they pay immigrants $12 an hour, they're going to tell the white person, that's the going rate. So everyone's getting screwed, but they want us fighting against them. And now there's all these bot farms telling white people, and Elon must promote this, oh my God, they want to replace whites. What they tell you is immigrants are replacing white Americans. Well, the truth is billionaires are replacing all American workers, white, Black, brown, with cheap labor. And they use racism to divide people up. And by the way, this is not new. If you read the book that I'm putting out there, It's been going on since the 1600s. And by the way, in the 1600s, the elites started dividing whites and blacks because whites and blacks united in Bacon's rebellion against the white elites. And then in the 1800s, 1900s, they vilified the Irish, the Italians, which we talked about. I just want to repeat this again because I think it's a very powerful point. And then today they blame immigrants. So, and then finally, anytime they're building infrastructure to go after so-called illegal immigrants, they're actually using that infrastructure against white people, against everyone. So they expand their police power, right? Think about, you know, 9/11, the Patriot Act, right? And the power is used against everyone. And then if you finally look at this slide, as I mentioned earlier, if they actually did deportation of everyone, all the illegal immigrants, the, you know, housing costs are going to go up by 20%. GDP losses will be $1.7 trillion. Food prices are going to go up. So the United States economy, the swarm economy, is wholly dependent on illegal immigration. So I call it white on white crime because 75% of the American billionaires are white. They're the ones hiring illegal immigrants to save money. Tell this to all white people, white working class people who go join these crazy shit, white supremacist shit, need to understand. If you're going to get angry, go after these fucking white swarm billionaires because they're hiring illegal immigrants. They're suppressing your wages. They're funding politicians who blame immigrants. And they're getting richer while you get poorer. They're the ones screwing you. And the last piece, as I mentioned, is there are organized bot farms. And the billionaires fund these bot farms in places like Turkey and Pakistan. And they flood social media with racist posts. There's 680 million views of anti-immigrant content in just 3 months. Most of it's fake, and it's designed to make people angry. And then the last piece here, very last piece, is war is a way to bring in more cheap labor. You start a war, refugees flee, more people come in. So the 3% that they sent out, they got another new pile of people coming in who are willing to, you know, work at any wage possible. So, you know, this is why we say truth, freedom, health is your North Star, because the billionaire swarm who hires immigrants while blaming them publicly, that's not, those people are not on our side, nor the politicians left and right. The left, by the way, funds sanctuary cities, gives safe havens. They're not doing that to help the immigrants. They're doing that to keep wages low. The only ally here are other workers. And again, in summary, here's the numbers, 902 billionaires. Their wealth has increased 22%. Meanwhile, the wages of white workers has gone down by 25%. Let me repeat that again. 902 billionaires in the United States, their wealth has increased 22% by using undocumented labor. They only ship 3% back. The suppression of white wages has gone down by 25%. So let's figure out who the real enemy is here from that slide. And again, California, you know, they have 2.3 million undocumented workers. You don't make a dent in that. They have sanctuary cities, and you have Texas and Florida. I forgot the image here, but they have 200 billionaires. They have 1.4 million more undocumented workers in California. So all Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, all these fucking guys are just bullshitters. So we got to see who the real enemy is. We got to reject the division, and we have to unite other workers. And what they fear most, a homework assignment, everyone go study Bacon's Rebellion, 1676, where poor whites and blacks united against the rich landowners. That's what they're terrified of. So they have to invent racism. They have bot farms. They play hundreds of millions to run. They invent racism. So this is sort of the cycle. You stoke fear of immigrants. You split white and immigrant workers. You push wages down and you profit. Okay. So that's my final quote on this. So I want, we're going to make this into a course. We're going to put it online on the dashboard for all of our warrior scholars and leaders. You can use those slides I just gave you to train other people. Again, I repeat, white people are the most screwed over in the United States because they get mentally screwed over. They get separated from other workers, and then they're made to feel like they're better by the swarm when they're actually getting screwed big time. So I think this is one of the greatest topics we can share with people. Let's take another question. What do you think are the main reasons average people won't actually do anything to the fight evil? When I did a Google search, I got a variety of reasons: self-protection, fear of being unpopular. What are some of the techniques to break through? Everyone I talk to will agree their problems, but won't join them. Yeah. So here's the deal, Steve. Monroe, how many people did it take to do the American Revolution? What percentage of the population? Does anyone know? Does anyone know? Around 2-3%.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's keep all of this in a relative perspective here. Okay. And Steve, if you've gone through our course, I discuss this in Foundations of Systems. Let's just keep it really simple. If you have, a big tub of water, how many drops do you need to drop, to get that whole tub moving? And you can do this experiment. Do you need a million drops? No. You probably need about 10 to 20 drops at different locations. If you keep dropping them, the whole thing will create a standing wave. So this is the nature of it. You need enough people who have a very high state of consciousness who are willing to move. Our movement is not here trying to convince every Tom, Dick, and Harry. That's a waste of time. You don't need to do that. You need to get enough people who understand the dynamics, who can educate, who can move consciousness. So the mistake people make, Steve, and again, don't take this personally, you got to ask the right questions. Okay? The questions you're asking is the questions a swarm wants you to ask. So you become demoralized. You said, what do you think are the main reasons average people won't actually do anything to fight evil? Well, there's a lot of quote unquote average people on this call. They're actually doing something, but they've elevated their consciousness. And the goal is you don't need 8 billion people. You need a fraction of that. And that is what we're doing. So, and Steve said, thanks for the reminder. I will keep pushing. So Steve, don't go wasting your time trying to convince people. You get out there enough, you hand out 1,000 flyers, you're going to find 10 people. That's pretty good. And the other 990, someone may crinkle your flyer, throw it away. Don't waste your time. That's okay. But remember, the American Revolution was done by around 3% of the people. Okay? So if you use that number as a gauge, it really elevates your understanding because that's the energy that you need to move that still water. So it's hard. It may seem counterintuitive, but that's what it is. Thanks, Noel. Noel just put a link. It says Dr. Shiva's stance on issues. All right. Nicholas has got one question here. Britt Lindgren says, according to Christians, there is a time of the end and Armageddon. What is your opinion on this biblical prophecy in comparison to Hindu prophecies? Are we living in a particular end of cycles? Look, here's my general thing, Britt. Again, we could have long conversations. The Indian system has four cycles: Kali Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and the world goes in cycles. And gurus talking about this shit, and we can all day talk about revelations. All of this to me is meaningless. Life is what we make it. Okay, destiny is being determined by us. And if you want to take it even from a spiritual perspective, God gave us free will, and I don't think God is waiting for us to do something particular. It's up to us. So I think, again, Britt, ask the right questions. You know, you got people, since I've been around, you know, the end is near. The end is near, right in Times Square, right? The end is coming tomorrow. The entire Christian evangelical base, the billions that are made, is talking about the end is near tomorrow, right? The entire Hindu religious system is talking about Kali Yuga coming and disaster. You can't live life. You can't make any decisions based on this. But if you look at anything you do from the time you get up and you go to bed, if you just lived your life based on that philosophy, why even get the fuck out of bed? Okay, but we get up, we make things, we build careers, we have families, we do stuff. Okay, this is based on us making decisions. Very drunk. So let's go to Joanne Feaster. Is our movement the Paris Commune online a revolution against the state? Also, when I call for pledges, I'd like to emphasize that you're running as an independent, signifying that North Star. Yeah, look, the Paris Commune was the first time in history that working people realized, wait a minute, we're working people, we should organize. Okay? That's what that was. Okay? So in that sense, we're looking back at that and saying, we need to also build a movement bottoms up. So in that sense, that's what we're doing. Edward Zach says, why was Minnesota chosen as a litmus test of all states? For the deportation theater. Your video about the theater the other day was awesome and made a lot of sense. Okay, so let me just explain this. So Edward, the reason Minneapolis was chosen was, why didn't they choose Florida? You know, why didn't they choose Texas? Right? They got 3.7 million illegal immigrants there. How many illegal immigrants are in Minneapolis, Edward? 96,000. Okay? So they go to Minneapolis because if the attention was on Florida, where fucking Marco Rubio's talking all his shit, okay, his racist shit, it would expose the fact that Marco Rubio's entire career is built on illegal immigrant labor. You follow what I'm saying? So they have to go to Minneapolis and they have to get, I mean, ICE, by the way, is made up of working class people and the left is made up of working class people. So they go and start shit somewhere that they know is going to start a shitstorm. It's to purely create a dramatic theater, Edward. That's what they did. You see? Why don't they go right to, you know, Florida? That's the question. You see what I'm saying? Good question. Can someone ask the next question? If they can read up and ask it.
Yes. Let me see. I have a question from Hamza. He says, why don't most athletic trainers and strength and conditioning coaches focus on nervous training system?
Read that one again. I don't see that.
Why don't most athletic trainers and strength and conditioning coaches focus on the nervous training system?
On the nervous training system?
Yeah, this is from Hamza.
I don't know what he's talking about. Nervous system or nervous training system?
It's the nervous system.
Yeah. Can we focus on the topic at hand? Hamza, you should come to our systems health event. Okay. We can talk about this at the systems health event.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any other questions on my end.
Someone said, is El Salvador a bottoms-up movement? How does it seem it is one? Does anyone want to answer that? So you have this guy Bukele, right? And Bukele is wholly supported by the United States Swarm. He's pushing Bitcoin. And if you have to look at what he's doing, he's promoting this quote unquote conservative values to rebuild El Salvador. But ultimately, El Salvador is like a mini surveillance state that's being deployed as a laboratory of what they will do in the rest of the country. You know, that's what Bukele is really about. If anything, it's a highly top-down movement supported by the U.S. billionaire swarm. Lessa Monsa says, "You've been the only consistently truthful and accurate political operator since Trump first ran. How long do you think it'll take before critical mass is reached on your approach?" So again, these questions, I appreciate the kind note, but listen, you're asking me to predict something like, when is Armageddon going to come? When is the Messiah going to come? Right? This is really up to us. What's different between the questions about Armageddon and stuff like that is, this is something that's wholly in our control. It really is. So the question is, Les Monfoso, is wherever you are, and someone may want to go on YouTube, invite him to our next orientation, is to invite this person to get involved and what they can do to actually help build this movement. So it's not a theoretical question. Cody Nicolais on YouTube says, "Have you ever thought about what the Great Reset really is and how the plans were wrap around it? It all revolves on the grand solar minimum." Okay. So let me just say that these two questions are very similar, because the swarm puts a lot of effort into dissuading well-meaning people to actually roll up their sleeves and do something tangible. Okay. I could probably spend 24 hours here talking about all different theories, religious theories, all different cataclysmic theories, and they could keep going on. And by the end of that, you'll want to just go and make, I don't know, probably shoot yourself. Okay. Because it'll demoralize you. So the reality is that all of these are theories. None of them are subject to our involvement in affecting that, right? Like the grand solar minimum, whatever that is. So which means that you are just a lump and you can't do anything. You see? Learned helplessness. So be very, very careful on exploring some of these ideas and what that ultimately leads to. It ultimately leads to you doing nothing. Okay. Someone called me up and they said, "You know, have you read this?" You know, really nice person. You know, the reason Trump is going to buy Greenland is for this reason. Something, you know, horrible is going to occur. And therefore, where does that lead to? Some asteroid's going to hit. And therefore, where does that lead to? Okay, asteroid hits. What does that mean? That if that's going to happen, we don't build a movement? You see what I'm saying? Like, where do these ideas lead to? They lead you to not doing anything to advance our own class interests. That's what they lead to. So you got to be very careful with these things, because in many ways, it's also absolving you from not getting off your butt. You see, it's very, very convenient to say, "Well, you know, the aliens are going to come in 2026, and they're going to take over the world." It's wonderful, because you can, you know, Nicholas can talk to you, and you can say, "Nicholas, I agree with what you're saying, but you know, the aliens are going to take over in the next few months. So I'm sorry, Nicholas. I don't want to do anything to do anything because the aliens are going to take over." So it's wonderful, because it's a way to rationalize you being a lazy fuck and not wanting to do anything. That's what it is. And I hate to be that harsh about it, but that's what you're really fucking saying. I have a grand reason, you know, the Messiah is going to come on this day. So Nicholas, I don't need to do fucking anything. So please don't, you know, you're too smart to get caught up in such shit. Trump is getting to the states to nationalize the elections with different, now this is a good question, different fronts. What can we expect from this? This is very frustrating. They're taking away the, yeah. What occurred in the last election was the left and right are fully united now. And they're going all out. You see, before there was an illusion of some level of humanity. So in the administrations of people like John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, they'd invade countries, they'd fuck over people, but they'd give this illusion, oh, we care for the black man, right? We have the Peace Corps. We have USAID. That was just a veneer of humanitarianism. But that cost the elites money. What Trump has done is taken all that veneer away. In some ways, he's more of an honest imperialist. Kennedy was as much of a fucking imperialist as anyone. But he gave this veneer, this branding, as though they cared about some fucking people. They did such a good branding job, poor people in India would put up pictures of John Kennedy in their little huts. So it was a massive branding campaign that got done. Trump says, fuck it, I don't want to. The swarm is basically directed to Trump. Let's not waste our money on these fucking poor people, working people, darkies. We don't need to convince them. Let's just go take over everything they have. So that's what's really going on. So this concept of these nationalization of elections has nothing really to do with election integrity. During the phase of ultra-imperialism, what happens is you may have three branches of government, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive. And what ends up happening is the judicial and the legislative become subsumed by the executive. All power rests in the emperor, right? If you watch that movie, I think I mentioned this before, Gladiator, that's what's going on. Marcus Aurelius was concerned about that. So the nationalization of elections is we are supposed to be a republic, right? Every state is its own state, and they're supposed to be able to use their local state legislatures to determine how they do certain types of local processing. This is imposition from top down, and this kind of, Jerry Valenzuela says, this kind of imposition can be used for total fascism. Like, we're not going to run elections this year because fill in the blank. Okay. So that's where we are. We're headed in this total consolidation of power, profit, control. And the last thing someone says is your marriage to Fran the reason you have insights to the Hollywood swarm? Yeah. I mean, this is another interesting thing. I forgot that. Okay. We talked about Chomsky, Chopra. Yeah, I think that event gave me a lot of insight into what Hollywood is. Like 99% of the people there are mediocre, insecure scumbags. There's a very small set of people in Hollywood who actually can act, who actually got training, right? Actual actors who view it as a craft. The rest of them want to be celebrities. So yeah, so it gave me quite a bit of insight. It's basically, you have this theory, anything I had theoretically got confirmed. Let's wrap this up. Nicholas, can I wrap it up? I think Pedro had a question. Pedro Diaz said, I think it had to do with Iran and fomenting hatred towards the Muslim population, which a lot of Ethiopian people are. Okay, I'm not sure what, thank you for your comment. I'm not sure what he's really. Crystal says, hi, Geronimo, he wants a kiss. Yeah, that's true. Suresh, I think we had all of Suresh's questions. And What do we got here? Oh, Rajiv Verma says, why are we even near Iran? What's the U.S. interest there? Why are we so worried about their nuclear program? India has a bomb. So does Pakistan. This is a great question. So, Rajiv, good question. The reality is, Khomeini in Iran claims he's anti-Zionist. Iran believes that they have a right to be a sovereign nation. And they do. The UN Charter says you can't go tell another country that they can't. So the US, in these negotiations that are coming up, has basically said US, Iran should stop its nuclear program. They should stop building missiles. They should stop building ICBMs. And they cannot have alliances with other countries like Yemen, et cetera. It's unfucking believable. The United States government is going to another country and telling them, you can't do this, 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 and this. Okay? Meanwhile, by the way, in the United States, we do have something called the Second Amendment. So we're saying that country can't arm itself. But we're armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons. So is everyone else. So what this is really about is massive control. Iran, I believe, next to Venezuela and Saudi Arabia, is the third or fourth biggest oil producer. And they also have wanted to support their own economic system with their own currency. They're very closely allied with China. So all of this means diminishing control for the US swarm. So that's what this is about, Rajiv. It's really about the fact that the United States views Iran as a threat. They won't fall in line. India is fully in alignment, okay? India is still controlled by a few families who run it. They will suck Zionist cock all day. They're fully controllable. Same with Pakistan, okay? Iran appears to have a level of independence, relatively, to India and Pakistan. So they're a threat to the United States. Yeah, so we'll see what's going to happen with Iran. I think the next 48 hours is going to be interesting. Iran has a shitload of missiles and drones. So someone compared the buildup in the Middle East to Desert Storm, but it's not true. The U.S. has about 50,000 ground troops. Desert Storm, we had 500,000 ground troops. So the U.S. cannot win a war in Iran. Iran is the size of Europe. It's massive. So the Iranians have put missiles in all different locations. And that's why the United States has sent these aircraft carriers there. Because if they're going to fight Iran, or the government is going to fight Iran, the military-industrial complex, it's going to be a war through air power and bombings. And it's going to be, if war does take place, it's going to be problematic. Because if you just watch some videos, the Iranians over the last 20 years have built all over Iran massive number of underground bunkers with thousands and thousands of missiles, home manufactured by them, right? And they have ICBM. ICBM is an intercontinental ballistic missile, which means the missile gets fired, it goes up into space. And the claim is they have ICBMs, which can hit the United States. So it's going to be interesting what happens on Friday, if it's even real. I'm going to end there. So if you want to take one thing away, whether there's an Armageddon coming or not, whether there's a Messiah coming, whether there's a asteroid going to hit us, whether there's aliens coming, I think it's irrelevant. We still have to build a bottoms-up movement. Even if aliens come and then they work with the existing government, you hear all this kind of shit, you still have to build a bottoms-up movement, okay? So I really urge people In the dark ages, when dark ages occur, science goes down the tubes and people get lost in wackadoodle mysticism. Okay? So be careful, because a swarm would rather have you talking about, you know, some aliens coming versus figuring out what I did in the slide. What I really like about the slide presentation, it's very tangible, right? You got numbers, you got science, we're pointing at the enemy, we're backing it up. They don't want you to do that kind of stuff. They don't want you to get really clear and crystallized in your mind. Okay, there's 909 billionaires, 400 are in Texas, Florida, and California. And Texas and Florida, the red state, has got 3.7 million illegal immigrants. What the fuck are you talking about, MAGA? Texas and Florida are the two big red states. Why the fuck are you going over to Minneapolis? What has Minneapolis done to you? Nothing. They're good people. You know, by the way, when you drive in Minneapolis and you put on your, you know, your flasher that you're going to go to the left lane, people actually stop and let you in. They're actually very nice people. It's not a bunch of pricks like in Boston. Okay? You put on the flasher, people come racing to take you off the road. So they go to a place where there's decent people. They have to hype it up as everyone's fucked up there. And they get ICE, which are working class people who are fighting other working class people. And they create a theater where there's only 96,000 unauthorized immigrants versus 3.7 million in Texas and Florida. It's all fucking theater to fuck over white people. So to all the lefties out there and to the righties, there is no replacement theory on the right. So the right wing manipulates working class whites, talking about supremacy and all this. And the left wing fucks over white people by just focusing on blacks and brown people, but not bringing up the fact that white people get fucked every day by both left and right. But that's what our movement's doing. We're exposing with numbers. So to the extent all of you spend so much time talking about grand solar minimums, why don't you fucking just go help build this movement? You know, the amount of time you go talking about Armageddon and this shit and aliens and listening to Paula Luna, who's a fucking stripper, right? You got to really ask yourself, what the fuck are you doing? Where are you putting your attention? Don't waste your fucking time. Our movement's here. And the only reason you may not want to do this is because you're lazy. Because we're forcing people to do stuff. And we frankly don't want to waste our time with people who just want to talk random shit. Everyone out there listening, you should be going to Shiva for Senate, signing up as a volunteer. We have about 10 months left and helping us make phone calls. And so maybe what we should do, Nicholas, and people running this meeting, is anytime someone asks a question, please ask them, are you signed up to be a volunteer for us? I really want you to ask that because I'm spending my time answering your questions. Let's have some reciprocity. Are you actually going to do something, or are you just mentally masturbating with random fucking questions? I don't think you want to do that, but you may be unconsciously doing that because a swarm has programmed you to do that, whether you know it or not. So we give you an opportunity to get involved. Get involved, go to Shiva for Senate, be a volunteer. Go to Truth Freedom Health, you know, free courses, get involved. Do something, you know, 5 hours in a week, 10 minutes a day, do something. We give you tasks to do. And I know that's new for many people because you've been always told just to talk or watch this video, watch this podcast. We don't do that. We give you shit to do. All right. Who's running today's meeting?
It's Marcelo, Dr. Shiva.
Okay. Thanks, Marcelo. Marcelo is one of our leaders out in Oregon, right, Marcelo?
Yep.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much, everyone. Get involved. We're your North Star. Take advantage of this infrastructure. You don't have an excuse anymore to just be hopeless and demoralized. Sorry, you can't do that anymore. You can't whine anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media, we need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We gotta train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement, and that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done, and it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com. So people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.